flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
The reality is players make decisions about where they want to play for all kinds of reasons. And, once players get to free agency, they have the right, they earn the right to determine, the team they'll play for the first time. And so, we will and we have and will continue to identify players that we think improve our team. We'll make aggressive pursuits, and my hope, my expectation is that we're going to continue to improve the team. And I think there's always momentum and excitement and enthusiasm when 30 teams get together, whether that's the trade deadline, the GM meetings, the winter meetings, to kind of accelerate transactions. But there will be some great decisions that were made at the winter meetings. There will be some decisions that probably won't play well over time, but the offseason is a long way from being over.
On the one hand, I guess that's mildly encouraging.
Like, get all that?
It's a long way from being over, but hey, just because it looks good now doesn't mean it's going to be a good contract. I get that, but
I kind of wanted to jump in early, but we were having such a good rapport, I didn't want to ruin it.
Yeah.
Where he says that players sign for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
I was like, let me stop you right there.
Not with you.
One, I can think of one. Money.
Probably highest on
Do you
the
think
list.
Juan yeah. Soto went to the place where he could get the best house, or did he go to the team that offered him the most money? Do you think a lot of these other guys? Now, sure, every once in a while, you know what? Maybe you lose out on a guy to L.A. They want to play in L.A.
Maybe.
Especially, maybe some of these Japanese pitchers would prefer to be on the West Coast. And the Red Sox did get Daisuke Matsuzaka. They've had a long line of Japanese pitchers. Mm-hmm. But maybe some of these guys would just prefer to play in California. Maybe some of them want to play with Ohtani, whatever. But I don't think you can say that about every free agent. You think Willie Adames didn't take the most money that was offered to him? And like I would think almost like 90%, 99% of guys.
Well,
in baseball free agency, go to whoever offers the most money.
Even still, all right, they sign for a variety of reasons. Not with you. I mean, who's the last guy you signed?
Chapman.
Who's the last big-ticket guy you signed? Trevor Story? And again, I don't really even count that. That was like an afterthought at the end of spring training, just about.
I mean, he's probably the answer only because it's over $100 million total. So that's probably the biggest contract. I think that's the most recent big contract signed
in the last
free agency.
In the last about decade,
yeah,
they signed Trevor Story late. They signed J.D. Martinez late. And they outmaneuvered everyone at the winter meetings for David Price. I think that's the real answer. And Breslow's not responsible for all of that. I mean, he's been the chief baseball officer for 1 year.
Yeah.
But there is a trend going on there, and you were in on Soto. You were in on Fried. You're the interest kings. So why should we believe that there's genuine interest and ability to follow through on this? And the answer is my boss is cheap. He's not going to tell us that.
Yeah, right.
The answer is my boss doesn't want to do it. And so how are you supposed to answer that? So you do it in a word salad like he did. But I appreciate, if this is what happened, Breslow pivoting and saying, all right, if we're not going to spend, I'm giving up some of these prospects.
Yeah, we got to add to it. And neither you or I aren't the, oh, my God, what if the prospect turns out to be great? Like, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Same. You can't keep them all. They traded what ended up being in their system, according to Sox Prospects, who does a great job. Was it prospect 4, 5, 8, and 18?
Something like
in their
that.
System.
Yeah. MLB Pipeline has four of the top 15, and yeah, they're definitely 4 and 5.
So you still have your top three guys.
Teal and Brandon Montgomery, who was their first round pick a year ago.
Yeah. So you still have essentially your big three now, and then other guys that were sort of rumored to be in trades were guys at the major league roster, like Willy Abreu coming off a good rookie year, Tristan Casas even. You still have all those guys. So you still have plenty of ammo to get a pitcher from Seattle, throw him into your rotation, and still have a handful of top prospects or young players.
Okay, so I'm with you on all that, and I agree. I'm happy to trade prospects. I just wish they would spend money, too.
How about this?
I wish they would do both. I have no problem trading prospects. I don't appreciate being told for 3 years, Keith.
Full
throttle and not doing it.
That didn't help.
But fine. That's a lie. Whatever. I don't appreciate being told for 3 years, well, just wait for these kids to get to the big league level. And then they trade them all. Like, you know, it's like, you know.
We were waiting, and well, then you got rid of them.
But it's so clear what that was. Like, I don't care that you traded prospects, but I don't like being lied to in the meantime. What it's clear now, and it's becoming clear, is that it was just all about cheaping out. It was all a way to avoid paying players. You don't sign anybody in the meantime. You tell them about the prospects that are on the way. You don't sign anybody. You trade all the prospects to get players. The one consistent thing is you're not paying anyone at the top of the market. And so it's all a way to just not spend, which is frustrating.
So it is frustrating. It feels like they won't be a big spender. So that sucks. But let's put that to the side for a second. And if you're just talking about improving the team, making a run at the playoffs, and being like maybe even a World Series contender, which in baseball it really is just being in the playoffs. If they walk away from the offseason with Garrett Crochet, either Gilbert or Castillo from the Mariners, and Teoscar Hernandez, win?
Yeah, you're better.
Yeah.
You're better.
So, I'm like, you're right. You're a little, like, let down, and they're doing it. It's kind of a snaky way to do it, because you're not spending real money on any of those guys.
What if you're subtracting Casas? Like Morosi said yesterday, the Red Sox, even
I'd
after
rather
the Crochet
flip,
trade.
Like, somebody else.
Me too. So I'd rather trade prospects than Casas. But the Red Sox, even after the Crochet trade, are working to acquire one of the Mariners' starting pitchers, sources say. That could be Kirby. It could be Gilbert. The most likely one sounds like a potential Castillo. For
Is he the
Casas
worst of those
swap.
Three?
He's the oldest. I like him.
Okay.
He had a down year last year compared to the year prior.
The other two guys are pretty nasty.
And they're younger. And I don't love the idea of moving Casas' bat. I probably would do it for the other two. I don't know that I love the idea of doing it for Castillo.
Well, now you're in a spot where, like, you have a bunch of outfielders. You have a few guys with roster flex. Like, Rafaela can play a few different spots. But if you're moving on from Casas and you're not moving Devers off of third base, now, like, you've created another hole. And if you're bringing in Hernandez, you're adding another outfielder. So sort of like a logjam of outfielders. So, yeah, that becomes, like, a little bit of a head-scratcher. And, like, he's a good player, but he's not good enough, I don't think, to then create this whole, like, all right, what do we do with all these other guys? Like, you got to make sure all the pieces fit somehow. So, yeah, I'd rather keep Casas. I don't want to... I'm not trading one of the... Are you trading one of the top three guys? Are you going to trade two of your top four guys in this offseason for...
I would for the right guy, sure.
But is Luis Castillo the right guy?
No.
Okay.
No. I wouldn't even move Casas for him.
Got it. Okay.
So...
Just sign Corbin Burns.
Well, that's the easiest way to do it. Yeah. That's the easiest way to do it. And so, yeah, I just don't appreciate being lied to. Like, you know what? The smart way to build is actually through the farm system. And then it becomes time to pay a free agent and supplement that with your prospects getting to the major leagues, and you trade away the prospects. I don't care about trading the prospects. I care about being lied to. And the clear thing going on with the Red Sox is they don't want to spend. And this hammers that home. Even through the excitement of Crochet, which if you can't tell, we are excited about that move.
Yes, good move.
I think they need to do more, but we're excited about it. I just think that's the real takeaway here. They're doing whatever they can to not spend on big ticket items, which you're the Red Sox, you should do. Here's a bit of a conundrum for you, Keith.
Yes.
John Heyman earlier today. The Red Sox seem intent on moving longtime star third baseman Rafael Devers off of third base and to first.
Who said that?
John Heyman.
All right. We talked to Craig Breslow.
Craig Breslow and Alex Cora both say Devers.
Both are adamant that he's not.
Devers is the third baseman.
Okay.
Okay. So do you believe the Red Sox or do you believe John Heyman? That's a tough one for you.
I don't believe that guy.
That's a tough choice.
I don't believe Heyman.
You believe the Red Sox over Heyman.
So they're moving Devers to what?
He says they're going to move him to first.
No. Why can he play first base? I love how they make it out like any jackass can play first base. I need him butchering balls at first base.
Focus less about where he's moving.
Like, what? If he's at DH, maybe it'd be a little bit more open.
You don't
it.
Believe him saying he's moving off of third base?
I don't believe him.
So you believe the Red Sox?
Yes. Friend of the show, Craig Breslow.
Okay, so you believe
man of his word.
You believe the Red Sox.
Every word he said.
You notoriously are big believers in everything the Red Sox tell us.
Yep.
So you're a believer in the Red Sox.
Yeah, they said that, you know, wait for the prospects. They're going to keep all the prospects.
And
they, you know, they got
just
rid
checking.
Of one of them.
Rafael Devers is our third baseman.
Heyman obviously has an ulterior motive because Scott Boras wants his client signed. And
is Bregman his guy?
I should double check that. I thought he was. Am I wrong about that?
I don't know. No, I don't.
Let me double check that. I might be talking out of school. I might be talking out of school on that. Who is his agent?
He does have Bregman.
Boras, right?
Bregman. He has Bregman and Pete Alonso.
Yeah. Okay. So two.
Couple of guys.
Actually,
that are out
no.
There.
He's like 99% of the
he league. Has no, Corbin Burns.
Alonso wouldn't work in that scenario, but Bregman would be a. That's a reason for Heyman to put out there that the Red Sox are willing to do it.
There you go.
Or you could look at it the other way. Heyman's plugged in with Boras because Boras knows the Red Sox are going to sign Bregman and put him at third and move Devers to first. Either way, I thought that was a very direct. There weren't a lot of direct answers. That was a very direct answer from Craig Breslow.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out one
Zach
way or the
Gallen?
Other.
He's got Zach Gallen.
Another name.
He's got a lot of guys, actually.
He sure does.
Yeah, he's busy.
Do you think they're done, Keith?
Can't be done.
My answer was no earlier today after listening to Breslow. I'm worried.
I don't know if they're going to. Well, they're not getting Corbin Burns, and I don't think they're going to get.
How about these Mariners pitchers?
I think they got one of them.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I think there's some smoke there. I think they end up getting one of those Mariners pitchers, and maybe to your point, maybe that's what Breslow feels like. That's all he can do. And he's like, all right, I'm not going to take this job, and you're going to make me improve the team, but I can't spend big money on it. I'm just going to sit on my hands, so I'm going to move some of these guys. He also doesn't have the direct attachment that maybe Heim Bloom has to some of the prospects, because he didn't draft all these guys.
Good point.
He wasn't here for that. So if he's like, all right, great, they're ranked really high in Baseball America, that's awesome. Maybe I don't view them the same, and I need to win now. I need to turn it around now. I mean, this job is... You're probably as safe as, like, the Bruins head coach being the CBO of the Red Sox.
That's a good point.
They're going to fire you in 2 years anyway.
I think you're less safe because you can
maybe
even...
less safe.
You can even win here and they'll still fire you.
That's true. You win a World Series.
You know? Like, the Bruins, a lot of those coaches were decent coaches, but they weren't winning.
No, that is true. So he's going to take some swings at it. Also, as a pitcher, wasn't it like the whole thing we were sold with him is he's going to really change the pitching.
Yes.
The pitching is going to be a big thing, like how he identifies pitchers and this, that, and the other thing. So if he goes in there, and if your rotation next year is Garrett Crochet, Luis Castillo, Tanner Houck, Cutter Crawford, Brian Bayo, I think you'll take that. We had a texter point out, hey, guys, Lucas Giolito's still on the team. Great. He could be the sixth.
I legit, because they were teammates with the White Sox, I forgot about him.
Oh, they were, yeah.
And I was reading, I don't remember where, but I was
he'll
like,
give up
oh,
a
yeah,
home
they
run.
Still have him. Oh, yeah.
He'll give up a dong.
He'll serve up a nice tater.
he'll serve it up for you.
617-779-7937.
No, I was just going to say, I think they will get somebody else.
Okay.
It might just be a trade, but there are other rumors out there. The Crochet trade makes me feel pretty good.
One trade, and all of a sudden, Keith is buying everything the Red Sox are selling.
Not
the whole
free agency, though.
The whole offseason, he's like, they're not doing this, they're not doing that, I don't trust them, they're never going to be close, this and that. One trade, and you're like,
well, they ripped the
band-aid. I believe the Red Sox.
Because didn't it feel like the top four prospects should not have been untouchable, but we were getting the whiff that they were?
Yes.
And you're like, all right, if you're just going to hold on to those guys, like, what can you really do? And then the biggest trade, I don't know if there's going to be a trade where a guy goes for more. Like, if you rank, like, where these guys rank in baseball.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I think that's probably as high of a trade. So if they're willing to do that, and I don't think the price for Castillo will be as high. Now, if you get the other guys, maybe a little bit different story, but I bet they keep adding, at least via the trade. I don't love the confidence, though, in free agency.
Here's the thing. I'm nervous they're not done. And you can go listen to the Craig Breslow interview yourself on the Odyssey app. It's up now. I'm nervous that they are done, rather. They shouldn't be. I don't want them to be done. They should continue.
They did mention that guy before Chapman, who we were like, who? What are you talking about?
Justin Wilson.
Justin Wilson?
Yeah. How'd that get buried?
Someone tweeted
at us, how did that get buried?
You guys are sleeping on Justin Wilson.
No, we definitely are.
Do you know what Justin Wilson's ERA was last year for the Reds?
What's that?
5.59.
Good get, though, Craig.
It's like two of those jokers you added at the trade deadline.
Sorry we didn't ask you about that, Craig. Good get. Again, that interview's up on the Odyssey app. We'll get back to your phone calls. We've been talking about two stories all day long. Let's get back to the Patriots. A new story. Adam Schefter yesterday, I think, left the door open for Jerod Mayo getting fired.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get to that next.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app. And take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
You're listening to Jones and Keith on WEEI.
I think they intend to bring him back. I think that's their plan. Could the final month of the season deteriorate to a point where that gets called into question? In this league, anything's always possible. Do I think that they're thinking like that today, December 11th? No. I think that they think that they have their coach, and they want to give him a chance to grow and build around him, and he'll be the guy. Again, every year there's something that changes, and somebody gets put on blast that we weren't expecting, and maybe that'll be Jerod Mayo, but I'm not expecting that to be the case right now.
Adam Schefter yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. You can check that out on the Odyssey app. It's also up on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Good way to watch Schefter every week. In fairness, Keith, at the end, he said he doesn't expect Jerod Mayo to be out, but I thought the body of that answer left the door open for it could happen here over the next month. He's not saying, like Bedard, he's coaching for his job or anything like that, but he wasn't definitive there saying Mayo's back. He said, I expect him to be back.
Yeah.
That wasn't definitive saying, yeah, no, he's their guy, and like, come on, Robert Kraft compared him to his wives, of course he's back. He said, no, it happens every year, and we get surprised every year, and I read that as he's leaving the door open.
I kind of think a lot of reporters right now are kind of like waiting to see what the final four games look like, and they're like, we can't really commit one way or the other. I think Curran's probably the one the closest to being he's safe.
But Curran also said Wolf is safer than Mayo, which
true.
Is
to
me a way of saying he's not safe.
Yeah, true, and like you just can't imagine a 3-win season, if that's how it ends up being, having no changes. Right, so you're left thinking, all right, is Robert Kraft going to just run it back? And no one's going to sit here and say, oh, you changed the wide receiver coach? Oh, how bold. Or like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, that's not probably going to be good enough.
Right.
And so, yeah, how does this look over the final four games? And admittedly, it is probably a pretty low bar. Like, I do think Mayo's back. If I had to bet, Mayo's back. You know, I also wouldn't have bet that Bill Belichick was going to go to college. So, like, right. You know, sometimes you can be really surprised by things.
If you listen to the Bozo Touchdown Parlay every Friday, we lose bets.
We've missed.
Constantly.
We've missed in the past.
Yes.
But, no, I do think he is back. But you can't be so definitive because there is a chance they end on a 7-game losing streak. And there is a chance they have fewer wins than they did last year. And it looks like a jailbreak. And it's like, what were you doing on this play? Or what were you doing? Like, why didn't you do this? Or like, just a lot more questions. Every week has been kind of an adventure. You legit don't know what you're going to get with week to week with the Patriots. Competitive game, not competitive game. Gerard Mayo like being really conservative. I mean, that's pretty consistent, but it's just how much does it cost him versus other games? So, yeah, I think there's still a lot to be determined.
The more we go along over the course of this bye week, the more we move along. And we'll get back to the Red Sox trades. We'll get back to Belichick to UNC. This is a brief diversion because I thought that Schefter answer was interesting yesterday. We'll get back to all those with your phone calls, 617-779-7937. The more I think about it as the bye week goes along, the Cardinals are vulnerable, right? They've lost three in a row. They're 6-7. It's not ideal. The Patriots got to fly across the country and play out there. But they did have a bye week. They had a ton of time off. This was a chance to self-scout, reevaluate, really focus on your next opponent. I mean, I don't know that they have to win this game, Keith. But
I don't think so.
But they better come out looking buttoned up. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it can't be five false starts in the first half like it's been in some of these games. And it can't be turnovers galore and they're sloppy. They can't be sloppy in this game. That I think, is fair to say. You can't guarantee a win for this team against anybody. There's a bunch of games we thought they could win. They win none of them. Tennessee, Jacksonville, etc. So there's a bunch of games I thought they were going to win. They don't. It's fair to demand with Mayo. Some people believe coaching for his job, they come out and they look buttoned up, not sloppy, and that the players still want to play for him. That is important to see, and I think you're going to see it one way or the other early on in the Cardinals game. They either have that or they don't, and one would be a real, real bad sign for him if
they
don't.
Well, also, the way their defenses look this year has put a big kind of look at Gerard Mayo, being like, all right, that's one thing that there shouldn't have been as big of a drop-off on. And so if Kyler Murray has his best game of the season, which is certainly in play.
Oh, it's
because Trevor Lawrence did, Aaron Rodgers did, Matthew Stafford did, all these guys did against the Patriots. So if Kyler Murray lights it up, you're going to say, all right, coming off the bye week, because that's also a big thing that we look at with coaches. And, like, what an advantage it used to be for Bill. Like, remember that? Like,
yeah.
2 weeks for Bill to get ready for you? Ooh. Like, good luck. And, like, I think Andy Reid might be, like, undefeated after bye week. He has some crazy record after bye weeks. And I know that kind of gets built up in lore and, like, who knows. Like, you might just play bad teams after your bye week. Like, that might be part of it. But this is Gerard Mayo's first year.
See how they do.
First week. You had 2 weeks to get ready for the Cardinals. Like, what were you doing with your time?
Let's see how it looks. So I think that's important. But Schefter, I believe, left the door open there. Rubber will meet the road, or start to anyway, beginning on Sunday in Phoenix. 617-779-7937. Two dominant stories all day long here on Jones and Keefe. Bill Belichick to the University of North Carolina. Red Sox acquiring Garrett Crochet. We'll get back into your thoughts on him, and we'll give ours next.